It's Mock Draft Monday, and we are back to pick for your favorite teams, teams 1 through 24. We're going to get to a lot of their needs and players that make sense for them. All right, keep it locked right here, Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for making us your first listen. If you'd like some others, you could listen to Locked On Niners with Crocker, the Locked On Chiefs with me. We have a lot going on. We're going to get into this Mock Draft Monday a little bit ahead. We don't know the outcomes of the games at this point. So we're going to go through 24, and we're going to get started right off the bat with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to pick the odds today, and I'm going to change it up. I know I've thrown the Jags fans a couple of haymakers lately, so we're going to go a little bit more chalk. And the tackle that I've most recently watched, who that means he's on the top of my list at this point, we're going to go offensive tackle, Akeem Ekwonu from NC State for the Jacksonville Jaguars, protect and give some time and security to Trevor Lawrence and try to take it to the next step with whatever this organization is going to look like going forward. A lot of change there, right? But a couple of things, top four positions, pass rusher, corner, quarterback, and the guy who protects the quarterback. In this case, you can go left, you can go right, whatever. We're going to go with the tackle and Ekwonu. And I think that rounds out what you can do on the offensive side of the ball and make it your priority.
Yeah, the Jags are definitely in a weird spot. You know, I'm still on, you know, thinking about the do they go edge, because maybe that's where the most value is in this class. But again, in recent years, they drafted edge, they drafted linebacker and Chaisson, you know. But do you want to draft somebody opposite Josh Allen, or do you want to help protect your young stud quarterback? And I think keeping him upright and making it to where he's not running for his life every single play, you need to go offensive line. Will they do it at one? You know, I'll even say this for you. Maybe they don't draft this guy at one, but maybe they trade back a few picks for a team that might want to move up for a Thibodeau or for a Hutchinson. But we're not doing trades right now. So drafting him there, you're basically saying this is a big time need for Jacksonville Jaguars, protecting the quarterback. And that's what you feel like they should do with their first pick in the first round.
Yep.
I like it. All right. Well, with the Lions on the clock with pick two, I'm going with Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon, edge rusher. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau, we know what he is. Explosive. One step. I've been watching Von Miller play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Sunday, and just his explosiveness off the edge and how it's freaking out Tom Brady. And just how, okay, maybe he's not stout. I'm talking about Kayvon Thibodeau. Maybe he's not as stout against the run. But that first step that he has, that explosiveness, being able to bend off of the edge and make plays. I'm not saying he's Von Miller, but having that type of speed and ability, I think the Lions can use that. So Detroit Lions drafting Kayvon Thibodeau, edge rusher out of Oregon at pick number two.
I like that. And that leaves the Texans in a great spot as they come up at number three. And they have their choice of what some are going to have as the top edge rusher on their boards, somebody that can help solidify. We know there's still going to be a lot of transition on the offensive side. So you get a chance to take Aiden Hutchinson, who has been on fire this season, peaking. And the edge rusher from Michigan allows you to then start to rebuild the defensive side to be supportive for whatever quarterback is going to come in, however you're going to evolve, whether it's Davis Mills or whoever else is going to be there. So the Texans at three take Aiden Hutchinson, the edge from Michigan.
I like it. And at pick four, you got the New York Jets on the clock. I'm struggling with this one because I'm still trying to find the value of the cornerback, you know, position that is really near and dear to my heart. But I'm going with Derek Stingley Jr., the cornerback out of LSU. All right, so pick four, New York Jets, Derek Stingley Jr. out of LSU. The injuries and things like that, we'll have to figure out how that's impacted his draft stock. But just off of ability, I mean, he has everything that you want in your cornerback. Is it a little rich to take him in the top five? I believe so, especially with his injury history. And, I mean, his best year was as a true freshman. Since then, maybe not as high of a prospect. There might be some people that are really high on Booth out of Clemson. That's going to be something that I'm interested to see as I continue to dive into the cornerback position. But right now, I think huge need for the Jets, really to find somebody to play, you know, opposite the corner out of Virginia. Can't think of his name right now. Oh, Hall. Excuse me. Bryce Hall. So you got Bryce Hall. He's come on. He has played well for the Jets. Now, I think just kind of solidifying the opposite side, I think that would be really good for them. So I like Derek Stingley there for them.
I like that. I think we're going to have a long discussion about him. I think what and how much he's put on film. But, you know, hey, it's a good spot. They can definitely use the help. The next pick is the team, you know, across town. And the New York Giants have a new GM. I think that throws a little bit of a bubble here. But Josh Allen right now is going to be taking over this team. Coming from Buffalo as he has, you've seen them build a defense. You've seen them take a dynamic quarterback. The question remains is what are you going to do with the quarterback that's already in New York for the Giants? And in order to do that, I don't know that you can prioritize the edge. So I think right now, the way that this has fallen for Joe Schoen, he's going to say, I have to stick with this guy. I'm going to give him a little bit more help. I'm going to solidify and take another offensive tackle and try to get another player that can really help him. And maybe we have a chance with a new staff to really evolve that. So New York Giants at five, they're going to go Evan Neal, the offensive tackle from Alabama, a guy who's been at the top of the boards on and off. And if you want to talk power, you want to talk somebody that can solidify a group, I think going with the Alabama player here is probably appealing to Sean. We're going to see how it comes out, but that's what they do. Evan Neal, offensive tackle from Alabama at five.
I like it. And where I'm going to go now with the sixth pick in the draft, we have the Carolina Panthers on the clock. And that's a team as well that has, you know, just guys running for their lives. You know, whatever quarterback was back there, they did not have time. And that's not ideal. You know, the Panthers, they have some solid weapons and you want to help, you know, DJ Moore get there, but you want to solidify the quarterback position. Is this a little bit too rich for maybe some of these quarterbacks coming out? I think people are starting to get a little higher and higher on Kenny Pickett, but even then, let's get somebody that's going to protect whatever quarterback they have, whether it's free agency, draft, or however they decide to address the position. And we're going to go offensive tackle out of Mississippi State, Charles Cross. You know, big body guy, 6'5". He's a little leaner than Neal. Neal is a massive guy, but I think he moves well. I think he showed the necessary athleticism. Only a redshirt sophomore, so he has 2 years of film on tape. But I really like, you know, his ability to be maybe, you know, be a that day one left tackle franchise changing guy in there and really holding down the blind side of these quarterbacks, whoever ends up being quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. I think definitely could have went quarterback here, but I just still think it's a little bit too rich for this class and you'd be reaching a little too much.
Yeah, I can understand that. Interesting selection though, and try to help out whatever's going to go on there. The Giants are back on the clock. And so going with the show and continue here for the New York Giants at seven as well. I think there's a lot of question here. There's so many ways you can go. So do you double down? The next instinct would be to go edge. But quite frankly, I think that's a gamble on David Ojabo. We love his upside. But let's talk about 1 year. Let's talk about being risk averse with a top 10 pick. I think it's a little early for him. And I think that might take them off of him. Same thing with Karlaftis. I think another good player. But I think top 10 is a little rich for him as well. And I think they're going to want to double down and help out what they can do offensively. This is a game about scoring points at the NFL level, and I think that they could use some more weapons to help out what they're going to do if they do end up staying pat with the quarterback. And so that brings you, how can you fit somebody in that can do a number of things for you? I think when you talk about steady, you talk about a guy that can do a lot of work for you. For the New York Giants at seven, it makes sense to me that they're going to take a little bit of a deeper look. And this would have been Jameson Williams had he not had the injury. We're going to talk about him later in the draft, probably when we get to the playoff teams. But right now, I think Garrett Wilson is going to be high enough on that board that they're going to say the position is going to help everything else that we're doing moving forward as a direction. So Garrett Wilson, wide receiver from Ohio State, is going to go to the Giants at seven.
All right. And that's a little shocking because they put a lot of resources into the receiver position. Just drafted Kadarius Toney. You know, we'll see what happens with Shepard. I think he's coming off of, what is it, ACL injury. Gave a lot of money to Kenny Galladay. So there are guys there, but it hasn't really kind of clicked. And we'll see if they throw more resources at the receiver position. With the last pick in this first window right now, we've got the Atlanta Falcons on the clock. And this is another team. Like, they just drafted A.J. Terrell. He's done a terrific job, but the defense is still stinky. They still need to add some young, talented players there. Thought about potentially going on the defensive line because they're not getting much pressure there. But I really like Andrew Booth, the cornerback out of Clemson, and his fit right here for Atlanta at pick eight. So, terrific athlete. We're definitely going to go right there with Andrew Booth. You know, being able to really solidify the secondary and lock down that, hold it down. What they've gotten out of A.J. Terrell, that's been terrific. We'll see if if Andrew Booth can keep it going. But first, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about Built Bar. All right, it's a new year. So you know what that means, New Year's resolutions. And if yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure that you include a Built Bar into your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or sometimes even better than a candy bar. You know, Built Bar, it makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good and you'll want to eat it. Unlike these other, you know, chalky, waxy protein bars that taste like a chemical pill, you want to eat healthy, but it just gets boring, especially by like week three. A lot of us are starting to think like, man, is it worth it? Like, where's my chocolate? Well, I'll tell you where your chocolate is. It's in a Built Bar. And it's covered with 100% real chocolate. And most Built Bars, they contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and the best thing about it, 17 grams of protein. And compare that to any candy bar, which usually has about 240 calories, a lot of those empty calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. It's just not good for you. So here's an idea for all of you for the new year. Go to all your secret stashes where you have all your candy bars and all your snacks that are super unhealthy. Throw all those away and replace them with a delicious tasting treat in a Built Bar. And, you know, the crazy thing about Built Bar, they always have new flavors coming out. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, my favorite cookies and cream, and salted caramel. They got mint brownie and many, many more. In fact, they're always coming out with new limited time flavors. So check back at Built.com and see what new flavors they have coming out. Right now, if you go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, on the clock now, we have pick 9. It's the Denver Broncos. What are they thinking?
That is the big question, and there's probably 100 things going through their minds right now. As we are talking, we've seen the Green Bay Packers fall out of the playoffs. A lot of discussion about Aaron Rodgers not being on that roster anymore. Broncos were a player for him before. Could that happen again? Possibly. There's a connection with Cousins that we hear that the Minnesota Vikings might want to move on from. Could that trade happen to the Broncos? Yes. But as of right now, both those guys are on other rosters. So we're going to act as though those trade talks have fallen apart. And it comes down to the number one need for the Denver Broncos is a signal caller that can actually get something done without turning the ball over, without throwing inaccurate passes that waste, quite frankly, is a very unique and very talented wide receiver core. They're going to look at the quarterback room. And that's where they come down to, is this too early? They pass on Justin Fields, and I think in some ways they've grown to regret it because their plan didn't work out. So it comes down to the QB, and for them, I think they're going to be most comfortable with a guy that has a lot of experience that can run a pro offense. Kenny Pickett, the QB from Pittsburgh, is going to Denver at number 9 for the Denver Broncos.
I like it. You know, help them at that quarterback position. It's such a toss-up. Teddy Bridgewater, clearly not a long-term answer. Drew Lock, I think they've kind of run their course with that thing. Bring in somebody that is a dual-threat athlete. He can make secondary reaction-type throws and kind of fit into some of the new skill set that some of these teams are requiring from the quarterback position. I like that pick for them a lot. And at pick 10, we have the New York Jets with their second pick in the top 10. And one thing about Robert Saleh, he loves to build around that front. If he had it his way, he'd drop everybody back in coverage, and you're kind of able to do that. You know, we just drafted a corner for you in the top 5. You also got a corner, Bryce Hall. All right. We'll see what happens with May and guys like that in the secondary. But to be able to protect those guys, you want to have a good pass rush. So they need a book in, like they need a guy to get after. We talked about it. Ronald Blair is probably their best edge rusher. Not ideal. All right. So at pick 10, we have David Ojabo, edge rusher out of Michigan, going to the New York Jets. And that's the guy that's kind of forgotten because obviously Hutchinson gets all the love. But Ojabo, I think he's going to be in that range, especially if he goes to the combine and tests as well as people think, does well at his workouts. I think there's a guy that can climb into the talks around top 10 pick, David Ojabo out of Michigan.
Ah, there's the first freak show team member. And you guys will hear more about that. There's always the athletic freaks that are going to come out. Clearly, that's buying into it. I think that's a really interesting one with a lot of upside there that could help a lot. That brings us to the Washington football team, however they're to be known as something else next season. But right now, they have a lot of needs. And the two top ones, I think, as the way this has fallen through the top 10, this is a conundrum. This is really, really difficult for them because they have a chance to try to take a quarterback that they feel can help them, There's two athletes at the quarterback position that are available right now. One has been injured. So that puts, you know, kind of a big question mark on there. On the defensive side of the ball, something they thought was going to be a strength to go with Chase Young this last season, they have a need at safety. The top safety is on the board as well. So you have your back and forth. How are you going to really differentiate? And for that particular front office, I think it comes down to, what do you think that you have in Heinicke? What do you think you can do in free agency? This is another team that's on the rumor market for trading for a veteran quarterback. I think at the end, they take the safe route. They plug in a deep safety that they feel can do a little bit of everything. Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame. I think it's pretty easy to just plug him in and have an expectation that you have just improved your defense. Whereas there might be a little bit more question mark with the quarterbacks left on the board at this point. So Kyle Hamilton, safety Notre Dame, goes to the Washington football team.
And, you know, we've talked about Hamilton going top five, top 10. I think, you know, a team would probably feel more comfortable drafting a corner safety in this range. You know, think Minkah Fitzpatrick a few years back going to the Miami Dolphins. They picked him in this area as well. So around pick 11, and I remember Derwin Davis, him kind of slide down a little bit more, pick 17. But ideally, safety, you want to go in this range. I think that's a good pickup for Washington, who has a stout defense, and he just made their defense much better. I think when it comes to Minnesota Vikings, we'll see what they want to do at the quarterback position. They have a new head coach coming in, probably not going to draft a rookie quarterback because of that. And, you know, we'll see. They just drafted Kellen Mond, and doesn't seem like they like anything that's happening with him. So they'll be looking at the quarterback position, but probably stick with Kirk Cousins. He's a safe route. Where they can get better is in the interior. So here we're going to go with Jordan Davis, interior defensive lineman out of Georgia, and really get stout there in the middle for this team that has some solid, you know, guys coming off the edge, but let's get really big in that middle there. I think Jordan Davis helps him with that.
I like that. I think that could be there. I think Wyatt might be an option there as well. We'll see who's higher on their board. That brings us to the Cleveland Browns at 13. Lucky number 13 for the Cleveland Browns. Hey, you know, you gotta pick where you're slotted, right? The quarterback is the quarterback. They're going to have to deal with that situation on their own. So I don't think, especially in this class where we are right now, it's a lot of question marks. I don't think that they're going to look to try to backfill that quarterback spot for the future or anything here. Unless they manage to do something in a trade, I think you're going to see status quo there. So how do you help them? Again, we go back to, what else can you do? The departure of Odell Beckham, I think, plays a role here. I think wide receiver, Donovan Peoples-Jones stood out. So I don't think you're looking for a big body X at this point. I think you're looking for somebody else to be more of a weapon, closer range. So you're not pushing the ball downfield quite as much to try to get into that big body. And so, again, you get into Jameson Williams might have been there. You have, of course, Olave, very smooth. I think Drake Jackson, Treylon Burks are probably out of this scenario. But the one that's really intriguing to me is Jahan Dotson, because I feel like the wide receiver from Penn State is somebody that they can use in a complementary role to Landry and Peoples-Jones and get more out of it by using the play action and taking advantage of what the Browns currently do well. I like that fit there. I'm going to put Jahan Dotson, wide receiver from Penn State, in Cleveland with the Browns at 13.
I like it. Get explosive out there on the outside. And obviously losing Odell Beckham, needing to kind of solidify that spot. We'll see with Donovan Peoples-Jones, and, you know, he takes that next step and stuff. And I believe they have Anthony Schwartz as well. But having a guy like Dotson come in and be able to play multiple roles in that offense, I think that would be big time for them. At pick 14, we have the Baltimore Ravens on the clock. And still, another team, I think they like to play powerball, bully ball. They're kind of built similar to the 49ers in the sense of stacking up guys on that offensive line, defensive line. They want to play through the run game and be able to stop the run as well. And to help them stop the run, I'm going to go with DeMarvin Leal, interior defensive lineman out of Texas A&M. You know, this is a guy who has decent size. He's not like this huge guy. So I think he'll be suited to be more of like a three tech. If we're talking about 4-3, if it's a 3-4, he could play that kind of 3-4 end type role. But, you know, former five-star athlete, I think he's, you know, going to be terrific there. You know, hands and things like that, being able to play speed to power, I think he could do those things extremely well. So, you know, this is a guy who, you know, I think will be definitely big and being able to fit in with the culture of what Baltimore likes to do. So there we go. DeMarvin Leal, interior defensive lineman out of Texas A&M, heading over to Baltimore Ravens.
And here at 15, we have back-to-back picks. 15 and 16 are the Eagles. We'll wrap up this segment here on these guys because there's back and forth. And I have an idea. I think you have a player that you're going to like to put here. So I'm going to take the other one because I think you need balance. You need to support what's going on offense. I don't think this is a team that's necessarily looking to replace Hurts. So I think the QB's out of there. So what do you do to help this roster? I think you get leaner, you get more aggressive, and I think you put Roger McCreary, the corner from Auburn, onto this roster, and you're very, very happy with what you have growing in the secondary.
Yeah, and obviously I've been a huge fan of McCreary and his game and his versatility, being able to play outside, being able to line up inside when matching up against certain type of receivers, not worried about his speed as much, even though some people have kind of questioned that aspect of his game. Curious to see how that works out. I like you going secondary there, but with the Eagles' second pick in the first round at pick 16, we're going to go edge rusher Trevon Walker out of Georgia and get them, you know, just that replacement for Graham. Graham going down with the injury. And, you know, one guy I've kind of forgotten about with this whole thing, you got Barnett. And, you know, he was a former first-round pick for the Eagles. He's slated to be a free agent. So we'll see what happens with him. Do they bring him back and maybe they go a different route, or do they let him walk and pair somebody to go with Sweat? Right, in this scenario, I'm letting him walk and we're going with Trevon Walker. All right, but when we get back, we'll get to the rest of this first round, Mark. But first, we want to talk to you a little bit about Bet Online, and I'll tell you what Bet Online is doing right now for me as we march to the playoffs. Put $100 down on a three-team parlay, all money line, $100 to win $1,800. And it looks like I'm so close. We'll see how it plays out for me. But BetOnline, it remains the number one spot for all sports betting and wagering action in 2022. It's a new year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. To sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. All right, from football, basketball, hockey, boxing, baseball when that's in season, UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of this amazing offer that's available throughout 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager, all right, on all of your favorite sports. It's BetOnline, where the games start. All right, guys, we're getting down to it. Finishing up here with the last eight that we'll be doing today. Next up, at pick 17, we have the LA Chargers. Who are they going with?
The Chargers are in a tough spot because they have some offensive firepower. They still have to deal with the Chiefs. You have the Raiders that are starting to get a little bit better. I think they're going to make some investments at the wide receiver position. So the question becomes, do you bookend the Bosa and try to bolster the pass rush, or do you try to play coverage more? You've had a superstar, Derwin James, that, again, has had injury issues. So what else can you solidify a secondary that Chris Harris is in with Michael Davis, who I like as a player, but hasn't had exactly the impact that they had hoped? I think you have to look at the corner group again. And I think this is a tenacious group that wants to be able to take away other teams' weapons. I think Sauce Gardner, the corner from Cincinnati, is a nice fit for what they're trying to do in Los Angeles. He becomes a Charger here at 17.
All right, I like it. I like it. And I think that would be a big-time pick for them. I was curious to see if you would go offensive line because watching how, their young quarterback was under duress. And, you know, they just drafted Slater. So, you know, do they want to solidify the other side? But, you know, shoring up that defense and what they like to do, be able to play some off coverage over there, I think that would definitely help. Sauce Gardner, somebody that should be used to that playing at Cincinnati. We're pick 18. We have the New Orleans Saints on the clock. And we're going quarterback here, and I think that should be obvious, but it's what quarterback, and that's what's not as obvious. So there are a couple quarterbacks I had here in mind, but we still got Matt Corral on the clock on the board. So we're going to go with Matt Corral out of Ole Miss and get him into this offense where I think he's extremely accurate underneath with quick decision maker. I think, you know, having somebody in here that is a little bit smaller, his head coach, Sean Payton, will know exactly how to utilize him and get him those right angles and be able to get the ball out of his hands right now to some of these pass catchers that the Saints have. I would love to add a pass catcher to them at this, but I think right now where they're at, it's kind of rebuilding time. They have to get younger, and I think younger and cheaper in a big way to kind of get younger and cheaper at the same time is getting a rookie quarterback on that pay scale instead of maybe, you know, going out and getting a free agent that is to be, whether it's a Jimmy Garoppolo or Marcus Mariota or anybody like that. I think let's go with the young rookie quarterback, start to get under that cap a little bit. Got a lot of work to do there.
I think I like this pick for them because I think it allows them to take some of the things they've done with Hill and being creative with a guy that I think you can picture as a more classic passer in situations, a bit of a blend. I think that's a really, really concerning pick for the rest of that division. But for the East, we're back at 19 for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I get to make another selection for them. A lot of question about how do you help Hurts? How do you replace Hurts? There's a back and forth. I think he stays there. I think you want to give him the best option that you can. And certainly improving the interior offensive line is a way to go. I like the value here at 19 for Kenyon Green, the interior guy, as I list him as well as an interior player, a guard for Texas A&M. But he has significant reps out at the tackle spot as well. So he's a guy that gives you the versatility. You can slot him in at a guard spot, let him start, but he can play a role for you in multiple ways. And I think that's good value here at 19. So Kenyon Green, OG, Texas A&M, goes to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I like that pick for them. And I'm staying with the offensive line here. Pick 20, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers on the clock. And I thought about going quarterback here. Obviously, it seems like, Ben Roethlisberger has taken his last snap as a Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. But we're going with the redshirt senior offensive tackle out of Northern Iowa, 6'7", 320 pounds, who fits that power scheme that the Pittsburgh Steelers like to play with. You know, I was watching them, and you look at Najee Harris, and they want to build their game plan around him, whether it's through the run or the pass, throwing passes to him. And it's been really tough. His average was, you know, pretty low for their standards and what they won. I think a lot of it had to do with the poor offensive line play. So Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa, I think that's a guy who could definitely kind of step in and help and solidify that power scheme that they want to do.
I think that's really interesting. That's who the Chargers were considering, and it just came down to value. Who's the better prospect? That's why they went Sauce Gardner before. And now he's off the board. They had hoped to get a shot at trading back up to grab him. So I think Penning's a really intriguing prospect. I haven't seen a whole lot of film on him. I need to see more. And maybe we'll get into this in the coming weeks to start that debate a little bit harder. Now you get to the Patriots. And we know that they had a run. Made the playoffs. They're listed at 21 on this particular mock machine. So we're going to pick them here because that's where they're slotted. That said, I think Mac Jones outperformed himself midseason. I thought you saw a trail off there. Can he use more weapons? Certainly. Can he use a little bit more support? Maybe with a bell cow back, possibly. But how else can he help? Improving that defense, I think, goes a long way. And I think as they get a little bit longer in the tooth, you want to look at a couple of different positions. Value-wise on this board, I think it's pretty clear that you have a couple of options to go, not necessarily like a Rob Mayo type into Kobe Dean, but I think the longer, more versatile guy that you can plug in at linebacker and take over some of that middle. I think I like the fit with Devin Lloyd in New England here, the linebacker from Utah. If I know Belichick, he'll probably outthink 17 other thoughts that I might have, but for right now today, and in this particular scenario with them still slated at 21, we're going to go Devin Lloyd, linebacker Utah, to the New England Patriots.
I like it. It just sounds like a Patriot guy and a Patriot pick. And I think this right here is going to be a Raider pick. And we're going to stay with the interior line and go with Redshirts Junior, Tyler Linderbaum out of Iowa, and then solidify that interior. You know, Colt Miller, he was drafted a few years back to play tackle, start him off on the right side, and he's kind of moved around. He has gotten better each year. And he's one of the guys that they can build around. And they had an offensive line previously, and it just kind of fell apart with Donald Penn and all those guys. But now they're going to try to get back to that, and they're going to go with Tyler Linderbaum out of Iowa to really kind of step in and be a guy to solidify that interior part of the offensive line for the Raiders. So that's why I have them taking that pick 22.
I think that could be a fit. And clearly they're trying to make sure that they can push in that division as well and keep their offensive turning. Lindenbaum's a great player that I think is going to fit in there really nicely. And that brings us to the Arizona Cardinals. Their season didn't end the way that they liked. They have a couple of guys that are, they're getting up there in age. I don't know that right now the group at edge is viable at a selection 23. I think this might be either a trade up or a trade out scenario for the Arizona Cardinals, but they could use a number of guys. And this has fallen in a way that I think really fits in terms of what they're looking for. There's a number of Washington Huskies already on this roster, in Buda Baker in particular. I know that there's an injury involved there, but I think they understand what they're getting in a Jimmy Lake coach DB. And I think that they feel that they can make the most of that. Byron Murphy certainly has come along. And I think with Trent McDuffie sitting out here and available, a guy that fits their scheme, fits and understands what they want to do. I think they might be tempted to do this. Again, I think they probably trade back out of this spot. But if they're, I think they like the fit with McDuffie. He seems to be climbing up a lot of boards. McDuffie is a corner out of Washington that can play a lot of roles. He becomes an Arizona Cardinal.
I like it. And at pick 24, we're staying with the secondary for the Dallas Cowboys. We're going with safety Daxton Hill. All right, safety Daxton Hill out of University of Michigan. You know, the Cowboys right now at the safety position, they have Diamante Kazee. Well, he is slated to be a free agent. They have Malik Hooker, another one that's going to be a free agent. You know, Darian Thompson. I mean, they have to really solidify this position for them. You know, it's less than ideal right now with where they're at. And, I mean, you have even Jaron Kearse, who, again, is going to be a free agent. So, you know, you look at the Dallas Cowboys, that's where they need the most help, the safety position. And getting a guy like Daxton Hill, who can be very versatile in any offense, whether it's playing single high, two high, come down, playing the nickel, playing the slot, and maybe do some of the things that they had Jaron Kearse do. Obviously not as big, but they had Jaron Kearse playing that big nickel type spot. I think that's something that Daxton Hill can be utilized, especially with the Cowboys and where they're at with the secondary. At the cornerback position, I think they're okay. Obviously, the guys can get a little bit better mentally and maybe not gamble as much, even though it did pay off for them at times. But I think getting a guy like Daxton Hill, that'll really help solidify that secondary position for the Dallas Cowboys.
I like it. And I think it leaves the door open for some of the things that the Buffalo Bills, who are slated in this scenario right now, this has not been updated for the outcomes of the Saturday games, folks.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not going to matter if they don't get right at that quarterback position, because Ryan Tannehill, he just can't get over the hump and take this team to that next level. All right, but you know what, guys? That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On NFL Draft Show. I'm your host, former NFL and AFL defensive back Eric Crocker, and of course, joined by my guy Ryan Tracy. Make sure you guys follow us at Eric_Crocker on Twitter, at Ryan Tracy NFL on Twitter. Give us feedback, leave reviews, all that good stuff. We're getting into all the draft talk right here. But until next time, we are out. Peace.